where we'll enter paradise. Okay, this is our belief. Alaykum salam. This is our belief, and it is essential that we all know that all of the Sahaba of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, inshaAllah, have a high ranking before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And we cannot prefer one over another, and all are dear to us. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is reported that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said a particular hadith that is supposed to be in At-Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah. I asked the Shaykh about it, and he said he, at that particular time, he didn't have material to verify it. So take it or leave it. It is reported on the authority of Abdul Rahman ibn Auf that, quote, that the messenger was reported to have said, quote, Abu Bakr will go to paradise, Umar will go to paradise, Uthman will go to paradise, Ali will go to paradise, Talha will go to paradise, Zubair will go to paradise, Abdul Rahman ibn Auf will go to paradise, Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqas, Sa'ad ibn Zayd will go to paradise, and Abu Ubaidullah ibn al-Jarrah will go to paradise. End quote. This hadith, or this is what we're basing this whole segment of our intensive studies will be off this particular statement. Inshallah ta'ala, Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, stated in the hadith that is sahih, he said, the best nation or the best generation is mine, then those who follow, then those who follow. And this is in Sahih al-Muslim. So the best of generations that has been raised up for mankind is the generation of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam ajma'in. And these sahaba, it is imperative that we, belonging to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look at their example, not only because they are the best of generation, but also this generation being the best of generation, they have the same Sharia as we do. They were ordered to follow the Quran and the Sunnah as we are ordered. Say, for example, Rasulullah SAW could have said that the best generation was the best generation of Musa. What if that was the case? Well, they had a different Sharia than we do. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the best generation in the ummah of Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we have their example, how they followed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how they understood his sunnah, how they implemented his law alayhi salatu wa sallam, and how they sacrificed for this religion. So this is a major benefit of this ni'mah from Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, do not abuse my companions, for if any one of you were to spend gold equal to Uhud, it would, in Allah's cause, it would not be equal to a portion or even a half of a portion spent by one of them. And this is in Sahih al-Bukhari 522. The Prophet ﷺ, is giving us the instruction to not abuse his Sahaba, his companions, those who tread the path, those who sacrificed for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake, those who gave their blood and their sweat, not just their wealth, but their blood and their sweat for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's religion to be established. Not just their time, not just their wealth, not just their consideration, but their blood, their sweat. This is the Sahaba, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, arudha ajma'in. And so, it is imperative that we look at what I may call the cream of the crop. Al-Ashra al-Mubashirun, the 10 who were promised paradise. Today, inshallah ta'ala, we will start with the companion of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, we will start with Abdurrahman ibn Auf. Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Abdurrahman ibn Auf, I want to say something very important about this Sahaba. This Sahaba, I have never, out of all the history books and fiqh books I have read, I have never heard of anyone more generous than Abdurrahman ibn Auf. I have never seen any or heard of anyone give more for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than Abdurrahman ibn Auf. And Abdurrahman ibn Auf, as we will see later inshallah ta'ala, was one of the companions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that was real rich. He was extremely rich. Right? And hopefully we will read some of his will, what he bequeathed to his family, etc. But I want to emphasize that this is not a Sahaba that you just can just run across or just one of the Sahaba. He just one of the Sahaba. Yes, he sacrificed. Yes, he gave. But this is an extraordinary Sahaba, Abdurrahman ibn Auf. So today, inshallah ta'ala, I hope everyone will benefit from the Sahaba. Abdurrahman ibn Auf, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his real name before Islam was Abdul, his name was Abdul Umar, okay, Abdul Umar ibn Auf. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he changed his name after he took Shahada, right? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, when it came to names, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam paid a lot of attention when it came to particular names, especially when you call yourself the slave of someone. Abdul Umar means the slave of Umar. So when he took Shahada, he was renamed to Abdurrahman. And Ar-Rahman was a name that the Quraysh, they did not know too much about. And Rasulullah SAW gave him a name that was very close to his own heart, right? Ar-Rahman. In fact, the Quran, it says, quote, invoke Allah or invoke the Ar-Rahman. Or invoke Ar-Rahman, whichever you invoke, his are the most beautiful of names. This is in Surah 17, ayah number 110. So Abdur Umar became Abdurrahman bin Auf. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him. And so Abd al-Rahman, he took the Shahada after Abu Bakr. He took the Shahada after Abu Bakr. But Abd al-Rahman, he was one of the first eight to embrace Islam. Okay? He was not a slave during Jahiliyyah. And he had a little of protection, you know. Either you're a slave, you're a free man, or you had slaves, okay, or you had protection, etc. Abd al-Rahman ibn Auf, he had protection, and he was a free man. But it says here that Abd al-Rahman ibn Auf, he was amongst those who were tortured. Subhanallah. He was also tortured when the Sahaba were being tortured. Abd al-Rahman, unfortunately, was tortured also. Alhamdulillah, this was a time period where the Sahaba were building, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was constructing them to go through this fitna so they could lead in the future ahead. And Abd al-Rahman, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him, he had his share, okay? He was tortured. He was tortured also. And Abd al-Rahman, evidently, he was tortured so much that he was amongst those who had made hijrah to Abyssinia. Abyssinia means Ethiopia, or present-day Ethiopia, as far as my understanding. And he was one of them. But Abd al-Rahman, he came back after the Sahaba started making hijrah to Medina. Now, why was the companions of the Prophet ﷺ making hijrah to Abyssinia? It's because the torture that they bared in Mecca became unbearable, and Rasulullah ﷺ gave the sanction from, I think, if my memory serves me correctly, maybe 80 to 100 Sahaba were allowed to go to Abyssinia, make hijrah there as a safe haven. And Abd al-Rahman ibn Auf, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him, he was one of them. Some of the qualities of Abd al-Rahman ibn Auf, it was said that Abd al-Rahman ibn Auf was patient, he was firm, and he was loyal. Now, to have all these qualities in one in one human being is something phenomenal, right? To have patience, and to be firm, and to be loyal in one container, subhanAllah. No wonder Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala surrounded the Sahaba, surrounded Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with Abd al-Rahman ibn Auf. Rasulullah ﷺ, when they made hijrah to Medina, Abd al-Rahman ibn Auf was one of the first ones to make hijrah to Medina. Okay? So he made hijrah to Abyssinia, then he came back right before they made hijrah to Medina, and he was one of the first ones. And Abd al-Rahman ibn Auf, this is phenomenal. He was one of the ones whom Rasulullah ﷺ made brotherhood with the Ansar. You had the Muhajirin and you had the Ansar. And if you know the history, Rasulullah ﷺ bound some of the Muhajirin with the Ansar, and there was a pact of brotherhood. Now, one of the brothers of Abd al-Rahman ibn Auf, his name was Sa'd ibn Rabi' al-Ansari, okay? For this, Sa'd was very enthusiastic, and this is what the scholar has put down for this certain event. He said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bound Abdurrahman ibn Auf in brotherhood with Sa'd ibn Rabi' al-Ansari. For this, Sa'd was very enthusiastic. He was vastly generous, okay, as in an Arab custom. And he said to his new brother, Abdurrahman ibn Auf, quote, O my brother, we are the most wealthy people in Al-Medina. I have two gardens and two wives. Right? Look at which garden you want, and I'll give it to you. And which wife you like better, I'll divorce her for you. We all hear about this one, right? A lot of us know about this hadith. And the one who this was said to was Abdurrahman ibn Auf. You have to understand that this was the Ansari, and they had just been exposed to the Prophet ﷺ, and so they didn't know a lot about Sharia, right? They didn't know a lot about the law, Islamic law and things. So this statement, I guess this statement was said loosely. However, this shows the importance of how the Ansar were willing to share what they had, not for benefit, but for the reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how soft their hearts were. For you to have two gardens and two wives, which one of you, right, would say, okay, I got two gardens, it's fit for semi-well. Just because I love you for the sake of Allah, here's one garden. I want to see you do good. And I have two wives too. Matter of fact, you take the better one, and I take the uglier one. Which one of us could do that? These are whom Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam personally trained. Their personal trainer was the Prophet Muhammad alayhi sallam. This is why their hearts were so in love with Allah azza wa jal and his messenger and his sharia, because they were personally grown by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger. My heart becomes soft, yes. And my heart becomes so soft, yeah, you know, I may give a few dollars here and there. You know, according to my standard or whatever. But which one of us' heart can become so soft that we divorce half our family and give half of our wealth? Not many. Not many. Abdurrahman ibn Auf replied politely to this his Ansari brother, quote, he replied to the brother, to the Sahaba, he said, quote, may Allah grant you blessings, akhi, and your rise and your wealth. The only thing I need to know is where is the market. Right? Now you, once we learn who Abdurrahman ibn Auf, you would know why he said this. Okay? Sa'd guided him to the market. Okay, he said, okay, if you don't want this, okay, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum. So one day Abdurrahman ibn Auf, right, he had enough money for a dowry. Okay, a dowry is enough money to give to someone to ask him, you know, to ask the wali, can you marry me, or, you know, ask the wali to marry a daughter, or. And he eventually got married, okay? One day he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he happened to get a whiff of Abdurrahman ibn Auf. He was smelling like perfume, right? Like a woman's perfume, you know? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said something like, oh wonder, or what is this, or, you know, ala, you know, like something, you know, oh wonder, Abdurrahman. And then Abdurrahman said, I got married. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, what did you give the bride for a dowry? Okay? And Abdurrahman ibn Auf, he said, the weight of a date stone of gold. He answered, he said, make a banquet. He said, make a banquet even if it's for a sheep. Okay, it's like, you know, make the, what do you call it, aqiqah or walima, even if it's a sheep. Okay? And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for him. He said, may Allah grant you blessings in your wealth. Now, I want to put a little more context around this. Abdurrahman ibn Auf, he just made hijrah to Medina. Okay? And he was dead broke. Okay? And after a few days, Abdurrahman ibn Auf, he comes around and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he see him, you know, happy and he smelled like woman's perfume. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh wonder, Abdurrahman. And then Abdurrahman ibn Auf, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, I just got married. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what do you give us a dowry? You know, you just came here, just made hijrah, right? He said, the weight of a day stone of gold. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made dua for him. So, inshallah ta'ala, we'll go over Abdurrahman ibn Auf and his trading skills and his nose for business, etc. But now we go over a chapter called Abdurrahman ibn Auf takes prisoners. Like the other Sahaba, he did business and carried on with his family and his daily life. But when the time came to fight, there he was, dressed for war, and standing beside the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. On the day of Badr, Abdurrahman ibn Auf fought bravely for the sake of Allah and killed the enemies of Allah. And the enemy of Allah, Umar ibn Uthman ibn Ka'ab al-Taymi, A-Tayyami, excuse me. This was a big kafir, okay? This is one of the kafirun who had given one of the, some of the most treacherous torturing to the Muslims. And Abdurrahman ibn Auf, he had the luxury of killing him. So Abdurrahman ibn Auf, this is the honor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he gave Abdurrahman. In those days, soldiers would take anything they could to get from the enemy soldiers, right? And they kept. Badr was no exception to this. After the battle, the Muslims combed the battlefield for weapons, armor, tools, and anything the enemy had left behind. They also took prisoners, as prisoners would bring money with their families ransomed with them. You know, for the money. They say, okay, you give me back my family member and I'll give you such and such of wealth. So this came in commodity during after war. You know, Abdurrahman had gotten two nice suits of armor and was carrying them across the battlefield when somebody called out to him. This somebody happened to be Umayyah. Umayyah used to be a friend of his in the days of Islam, before Islam and Jahiliyyah. But he had became one of the great haters of the Muslims, right? After Islam came, he started prosecuting Muslims. He started torturing Muslims. So Abdurrahman ibn Auf, he had, cut relations with them. And this Umayyah, now pay attention, he had been the owner of Bilal. Bilal, the slave, the muazzin of the Prophet alayhi salam, he was the owner of Bilal, the one who tortured Bilal through the Mona Rock, drove him through the sand, and Adu Bilal, you know. And he had been the owner of Bilal, torturing him so severely in the blazing sun that he nearly died. Umayyah was too fat to escape. He was heavyweight, right? To escape, he couldn't run, you know. So, and he had lost his camel. He cried when he seen Abdurrahman. He said, "Oh, Abdurrahman, I cannot escape. Take me captive, and you will get my ransom along with my son here." End quote. Okay, so hearing this, Abdurrahman ibn Auf, he put down his valuable suits of armor because, of course, if you have a slave, it's worth more money than his armor. So he put down the armor, and captured Umayyah and his son, and was walking with them across the battlefield. Bilal spotted Umayyah. Right? Bilal is a free man now, right? He ain't having a son no more. He ain't been turned against rocks. And so he's a free man, and he has shahada, and he has honor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bilal seen Umayyah, his former slave owner. Bilal said out loud, now you have to remember that Bilal was the muezzin. He had the loud voice, and he was black too, so he had a big deep voice. He said, quote, "Look, the shaitan Umayyah, by he who owns my soul, that man cannot leave here alive," shouted Bilal in the big voice that he had used to call the prayer. Abdurrahman ibn Auf tried to protect his prisoners. You know, he said, "Hold on, Bilal, you know, hold up." And he shouted, but Bilal's shout had alerted the army. And soon, the little group was surrounded with a furious Muslims who knew the extent that Umayyah tortured and brutalized Bilal. Abdurrahman saw what was coming, and Abdurrahman, he saw these Muslims coming. He knew what Bilal went through. They all knew what Bilal went through. And, you know, all their hearts are won, man. All their hearts are won by this time. And their brother had been tortured by this man, trucked through the sun, in heat, starvation, getting bread and water for a year. Allah knows best. And Muslims just started, you know, coming around. So Abdurrahman saw what was coming, and he dropped his hands, from the prisons and told them to defend themselves. He said, "Defend yourselves." So on that day, he lost both his two suits of armor and his prisoners, and his two prisoners. And in the quotation, he said, the scholar said, and he never let Bilal forget about that, right? Even when he became rich beyond his wildest dreams, he always reminded Bilal about his slave and his two armors, right? So, you know, now we go on to the Battle of Uhud. Now, in the Battle of Uhud, Abdurrahman ibn Auf, he didn't have so much of a clean slate. It is reported that in the Battle of Uhud, Abdurrahman ibn Auf had up to 20 wounds on his body. 20 wounds. Some so deep that no one thought he would survive, you know. At the time of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, Abdurrahman ibn Auf was present to take the oath of Ridwan with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam under the tree. He was also asked by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to sign the treaty itself. He was also one of the few who could make fatwa in Medina during the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Fatwa means religious ruling. This was an indication of his wisdom and his understanding. Yet, Abdurrahman ibn Auf had true jihad was with his own soul. Why? Why, Mrs.? Inshallah ta'ala, we will stop here and hopefully continue and close up the lifestyle of Abdurrahman ibn Auf. It's been 40 minutes. I know everyone wants to continue, you know. But inshallah ta'ala, this is not a soap opera, so I won't. But I still will keep you thirsty for the next event. Next, next class, inshallah ta'ala, we'll try to find out how Abdurrahman ibn Auf struggled to be rich and at the same time to be just like, just as common and just as a zuhud as any one of us or any one of Ahlul Sufa who stayed in the in the mosque, and how he would blend in with his own slaves. He had hundreds of slaves, run report, 100 slaves, and he would look just like them. And this man here, he had so much wealth. One time, you know, one of his caravans came in and shook the whole Medina. Shook the whole, you know how you're next to a diesel on the highway, and all of a sudden the diesel go, and your car is shaking too, and you be like, oh, well, this happened to Medina. So inshallah ta'ala, we go over that next Monday. Barakallahu feekum. I thank everybody for attending the class, and I hope everyone benefited. Inshallah ta'ala, next class will be after Maghrib. Salah, Wednesday, advanced intensive studies, and we also have a basic studies of Islam, ABCs of Islam, on Wednesdays after Maghrib. Jazakum Allah khairan. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Is there any questions on the net? Jazakallah khair, Ukhti. Are there any questions, particularly on the net? طيب. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.